We continue today through the book of Hebrews on our way going through the Bible. And we come today to Hebrews chapter 7. And we pick up our study in verse 11. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Now, when you talk about the Levitical priests, the priests from the tribe of Levi, which ministered in the Old Testament law, offering sacrifices and offerings for the people, the Levitical priests were headed by Aaron, who was the first high priest. Back in Old Testament days, when the Jewish religion was growing strong, and animals were being sacrificed by the priest for the sins of the people, God announced something. He announced that in the future, there would be a better offering with a better priest. Verse 2, for the priesthood, or verse 12, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. The law that God gave to Moses, including the commandments, the sacrifices which were to be offered when one failed to keep the commandments, and the priests from the family of Levi who were to do the offering, all those things combined together were a package deal. They all went together. It was a package. The Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices, the offerings, the commandments, the law, it was a package deal. That's why when God announced that someday there would be a new priest, not from the family of Levi, the whole works would have to be changed. I mean, it would have to be a whole different system, offerings and everything. 13. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. Jesus, who the Father says is that new everlasting priest, did not come from the family of Levi, but from the family of Judah. A priest from Judah was a brand new thing. People didn't understand that. How could be a priest from Judah? We've got the Levitical priesthood. 14. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. No, it was, when you talk about priests, it was from the tribe of Levi. Nothing about Judah. And yet that's what God said, that Jesus would be the high priest, and he's from Judah. See, the Old Testament Jews were sort of puzzled as they read the scriptures about their coming Messiah. There were several things that probably had them scratching their heads. They knew he would be their king. They knew he would be their priest. And yet, how could that be since he would be from Judah and not from Levi? How could that be? It just didn't make sense to them. Well, is the Word of God wrong? Do we have to teach that he would be a priest and somehow, you know, twist the scripture that he wasn't really from the tribe of Judah because that doesn't make sense in our minds? Or what? Well, God knew what he was saying, and God knew what he was doing, and he worked it out in his time. And that's an important thing to see and remember. God makes things in scripture that are not clear, clear in his own time. That was true with the Old Testament. That will be true in the New Testament as well. There are a lot of things, especially when it comes to Bible prophecy, a lot of unclear things. I don't care what angle you come at prophecy from, there are problems. There are problems in trying to figure out what in the world, how's God going to work this out? Because there are certain things in Scripture that even seem to contradict each other. And the worst thing in the world to do is to have your pet scriptures and then take the other ones that don't seem quite to line up with it and, you know, try to jam them into your theological system, as I have said in the past. That's the worst thing you can do. Just teach every scripture as it is and let God work out the details, like he did in the Old Testament. He will do the same in the New Testament. 15. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Melchizedek is a very good picture of Jesus. Both are priests, neither are from the family of Levi. And God sometimes teaches about Jesus in this manner. God sometimes teaches us about Jesus with straightforward words. Sometimes he teaches by things and people which picture the work and person of Christ. And there were several of those in the Old Testament. Melchizedek was one such picture of Jesus. 15 and 16. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. The Jews didn't know where Melchizedek came from. They didn't know how old he was. They didn't know where he was born. They didn't have a record of his death. It was as if he had no beginning and no end. And like I said, he was a picture of Jesus, who as God had no beginning and will have no end. Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice for our sins, himself. And now he lives forever as a go-between between us and God the Father. 17. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's God the Father talking to God the Son. God the Father appointed his eternal Son, Jesus, to be our priest forever. Jesus presents his perfect sin offering to the Father on our behalf. Jesus did what we needed to have done on the cross. And he continues to do what we need. He's in heaven interceding for us as our priest. And so there's no need to replace Jesus. He is the one mediator between God and man. He is our mediator with God forever. 18. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. The Mosaic law was good because it reveals God's standard for man. But the law couldn't save anyone from hell because no one is good enough to keep it perfectly. And that is what the law of God demands, perfection. The law is perfect. There isn't a single flaw in the law. It's morally perfect. And if you're going to be saved by keeping the law, it demands that you be perfect as well. Not one miss. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. The Levitical priesthood was a part of that law as well. And it was good also, because it covered the sins of those who brought the offerings. It covered them temporarily, but it did not remove them. Now that's a problem. It's okay to cover them, but they eventually have to be removed, or the person's not going to heaven with sin on their soul. It was a good system, the old law, with the Levitical priesthood. Very good system, but not good enough. It couldn't save from hell, because the sacrifices were not valuable enough to pay for man's sins and get him into heaven. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. The second Jesus died on the cross, the Levitical priesthood and their sacrifices became outdated. The death of Jesus was the one perfect sacrifice that paid for our sins. And Jesus is the one perfect high priest who stands in the gap between us and God. 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." God swore that Jesus would be a priest forever. That's why Jesus could never be replaced by anyone or anything, like the Old Testament priests were replaced by him. That's not going to happen to Jesus. He's a priest forever. Jesus is it. He is the one and only sacrifice that makes sinners right with God. There will never be a replacement. God has no other plan for redemption. 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. The old Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices that went along with it kept people's heads above the water, spiritually speaking. They covered the sins that they were offered for, but like I said, they could not clean them off of the offerer's souls. The sacrifice of Jesus was perfect. It did pay for our sins, and it makes those who receive Christ perfectly clean before God. Doesn't get any better than Jesus. It's impossible. No one or nothing can do what Jesus has done for us. He is the one and only way to God. It doesn't get any better than Jesus. There's no improving on Jesus, like there needed to be improving on the Old Testament priesthood and the Old Testament sacrifice. There's no need to improve on Jesus. He's already reconciled us to God through his blood on the cross. 23. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus is alive. He continues forever. He is alive, and he will never die again. There will be no priests that take the place of Jesus. He is our only high priest. Jesus can never be replaced as the one who stands in the gap between us and God. He is never outdated. 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always makes to live intercession for them. Jesus will never quit being our Savior. He always lives to make intercession for us. He saves to the uttermost. He saves forever. Jesus will never quit being our Savior. We don't have to worry about that. He will never say, "You know, I'm tired of this job. Been doing it for 10 million years. I'm really getting sick of it." You Christians have been in heaven for 10 million years now, 20 million years, whatever. You've had a nice run, but it's over. I'm quitting. Jesus will never say, "I don't want to be your Savior. Adios to hell with you all. I'm done." Nah, the Bible says Jesus saves forever. But notice, that promise is only for those who come to God through him. You turn your back on Jesus, it doesn't count. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Jesus is the perfect high priest for us. He meets all of our needs. He went through what we go through. He knows what it is like to live on earth. He also died and paid for our sins. He is the sympathetic, self-sacrificing Savior that we all need. 27. Let's read 26 along with it. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. In the Old Testament, the priest had to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people every single day. They have their daily offerings, plus the sin offerings that people brought in. Every time somebody sinned, they had to bring in an offering to the priest. Can you imagine that? Jesus offered himself the perfect sacrifice, and it was powerful enough to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He redeemed us through his cross. 28. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. God's law to Moses made men priests. Imperfect men offered imperfect sacrifices to God. And that is why it was only a temporary fix, until the eternal Son came and offered himself as the perfect sin-removing sacrifice once for all. Jesus is perfect in every way, and so is his work on our behalf. We do not need anything in addition to Jesus or in place of him. Jesus did it all. He redeemed us. Chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. The Levitical priests were mere men, living men on earth. They lived, they ate, they slept, and they sinned on earth, just like the rest of us. But now we Christians have a high priest, Jesus, who is so great and so perfect that he is sitting next to God in heaven. Verses 1 and 2. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. God gave the blueprint for the holy tabernacle where he was to be worshipped in Old Testament days. He gave that blueprint to Moses when Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. And that worship building, that worship place, according to God's blueprint, was supposed to have three compartments. And the holiest compartment was the dwelling place of God. It is where his throne was. It is where his presence was. And no one could enter into that holiest room except the chief priest once a year with blood to offer for the sins of the people. Once a year. And he couldn't linger. He had to get out of there. Do your job. Get out. Our chief priest, Jesus, is in the true holy place in heaven, talking to God on our behalf. Just like that Old Testament high priest would go in and offer a sacrifice for the sins of God's people. Once a year, Jesus is in the very presence of God the Father, talking to him on our behalf all the time. 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, therefore it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. The job of the high priest was to, like I said, once a year enter the most holy room and offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Well, if Jesus is a high priest, then he needs to offer a sacrifice also. And he did, himself. 4. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. When this was written, the Jews were still hanging on to the Old Testament sacrificial system and the Levitical priest. It had been outdated for years, for decades. Jesus had already been crucified. He already redeemed the world on his cross. He already was raised. He ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God, being our high priest. But the Jews are still hanging on to the old Levitical law and priests. And if Jesus had been on earth in those days, he would not have been one of their priests because he wasn't from the tribe of Levi. But Jesus is in heaven, next to the Father, functioning perfectly as our high priest. Like I said, the Levitical priesthood had become and still is irrelevant. Verse 4 and 5. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." The Old Testament tabernacle was an earthly copy of the true place of worship in heaven. And that is why it could not have been built just any old way. Moses did not hire an architect. God was the architect. And it had to be built precisely the way God said, because it represented the one that was in heaven. There is a building in heaven, a place of worship, a 3D place. And the Old Testament tabernacle was a scaled down version of the one in heaven. Verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament priests. The temple where Jesus works in heaven is infinitely better than the one that was on earth. The covenant or the agreement that Jesus reached with God the Father through his death on the cross is much better than the Old Testament priest, the one that the Old Testament priest worked with. Much better, because it didn't just, the covenant that we have through Jesus Christ, the new covenant, doesn't just cover sin, it removes sin. And what's really nice is we don't have to bring a sacrifice each time we sin. 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. The old covenant, the old agreement, included laws for the people to obey. It was a good covenant. And the laws were all good because they came from God. The problem is, no one was able to keep the law perfectly, and no one ever got saved trying their best to do it either. That's why there needed to be a second covenant with a different priest and a different sacrifice, which could save. Verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." A new covenant. And notice what verse 8 says. God found fault with them. And for that reason, he was going to establish a new covenant someday to replace the old one. Because he found fault with them. The fault was not with the old covenant. It was with the people whose sinfulness kept them from living up to their end of the agreement with God. And I'll say it again, the law of God is perfect. There's no fault in the law of God. People are the problem, because none of us ever keep the law perfectly. And that's a big problem, because even one sin on your soul is enough to damn your soul to hell. If Jesus Christ hasn't redeemed you from all sin, then you're lost forever. Someone says, "Well, I'm going to keep the law to get saved, and I think I'm doing pretty good. I keep about 90%. Well, that 10% is enough to damn your soul to hell forever. You have to have your soul cleansed through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And trying to obey the law doesn't do it. That's why God replaced the old covenant with the new one. You see this? Look at 8 and 9 together. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord." The Israelites and God made an agreement at the foot of Mount Sinai. "All that the Lord has said we will do," they said, with reference to the law. They entered into covenant. It was sworn in blood. However, Israel kept failing to do what they said they would do. They kept sinning. They kept turning from God. And here's the bad part. God knew they would keep turning from Him, which is why He set up the sacrificial system to restore them back into good standing with Him. But they kept turning from God, and eventually they got to the point where they didn't even repent. They didn't even confess. They turned their back on God. And so he turned his back on them. God will never break a relationship with anybody. But people can turn their back on him. 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. Excuse me. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I like how God did not live in the past concerning his people Israel. Instead, he looked forward to the future. Israel had become so bad by the time Jeremiah first wrote this verse back in Old Testament days that God had scattered them throughout the whole world. But God looked forward to a day when he would gather his people. And notice the new covenant in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. The old law and the old covenant, with its rules and regulations were given to Moses, were all written on stone and later transferred to paper. But God promised a new agreement with new laws for his people. And those laws will not be written on stone or paper, but on the people's hearts. Under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit lives in the soul of God's people. The Holy Spirit teaches them right and wrong and gives them the desire to do right and the power to do right also. That's why if somebody doesn't care about Jesus, they don't belong to him. They're not saved. You don't care about Jesus, you're not saved. Because God says in the new covenant, God's going to write his heart, his laws on your heart. To those of us who believe, Jesus is precious, the Bible says. If somebody doesn't care about Jesus, they don't belong to him. They're not saved. Someone says, well, I used to care. I don't care anymore. I don't care. You're not saved then. Doesn't matter what you used to be. It matters what you are. Verse 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Knowing God is synonymous with entering the new covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Everyone knows about God. Many know about Jesus Christ. But those who are right with God know Jesus. Not just know about him, but they know him. They have a relationship with him that's real. God's laws are written on their heart. 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. See, the thing that makes the new covenant so wonderful, the thing that makes it work, is that God forgives our sins forever. He's able to do that because of the sacrifice of the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He paid for our sins so we don't have to. And God is free to forgive those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God's justice has been satisfied by the suffering and death of Christ. 13. In that he says a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant with its priesthood and its sacrifices and its offerings is useless. It has been replaced by the work of Christ, by his death on the cross, which reconciles us to God. Next time, chapter 9. Until then, so long, everyone.